Okay, could you offer a bit of advice on how to deal with the apparent dichotomy between seeing people, including myself, as real and solid, for example, when sending the metta, and the doctrine of no-self, whereby there is no such imagined solidity at all, just an ever-changing combination of the khandhas. Thanks for your wonderful Dhamma talks and radiant presence. I think the first thing to emphasize is that the quote-unquote doctrine of no self is not actually that's actually a misnomer, because if you say no self, it means it isn't there, it doesn't exist. The anatta teaching of the Buddha is a middle way teaching, so that if one looks at the scriptural language, atta is self, so self, soul, this is mine, this is solid, this is absolutely the most important thing ever, and then said, like, no self, doesn't exist, isn't there, completely, no imagined solidity at all. That is vīratā. And those are two extremes. The balance is anattā, that non-self. It's not a negation, but it's a recognition of its, because of its impermanent nature, the nature of it being a part of a causal process, there isn't anything that one can extract out and say, this is absolutely solid and steady and constant. It's non-self. It's a really important distinction, because the nature of the mind is to go to the concretization of existence and non-existence, being and non-being. But the Buddha's wanting us to look kind of down in the middle of that and pay attention to the process of arising and ceasing, of causes and conditions, and recognize that within that there's no solidity. It doesn't mean that it's not there and it doesn't have an effect, but you can't stake claims over it. So then when you can't stake a claim over it, then you have to relinquish it. And that's freeing, liberating. Whereas trying to prop up the existence of it as something solid, or the negating and pushing away of it, annihilation of it, that keeps you bound and entangled. Dear Ajahn, what if